Well, good evening. How's everybody doing this evening? Good, good. Go and turn your Bibles over to 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9 is where we begin tonight. And let me emphasize again this evening what a treat it has been to be in your presence today. It's an honor to have been invited to be a part of this group today. And I hope and trust that the things that were presented this morning and the things that will be presented this evening will be beneficial to you in your spiritual walk with the Lord. If you're visiting with the group here this evening, on behalf of the group, thank you for being here. We hope that the service that is conducted to our Lord tonight will be an encouragement to you. If there's anything that you see or you hear, you observe, that you may have questions about, please do not leave here this evening without your questions answered. I want to thank Brother Chuck and Sister Kathy for lunch this afternoon. It was an enjoyable time spending the afternoon with them, having lunch. They are Pittsburgh Steelers fans. Being from Ohio, I'm not gonna hold that against you as a Bengals fan. But yeah, it was just an awesome time spending the afternoon with them and sharing a meal together. As our brother announced the announcements, we're from the Virginia Beach area. Our congregation is in Chesapeake, but we're just about half hour from the ocean. So if you're ever in that area vacationing or would like to come check out the area, let me know. We would be happy to spend some time with you. We'd be happy to have you with us at the Tidewater congregation. So as you can see from the screen behind me, we're going to be talking about facing your giants. And in a moment, we'll look at 1 Samuel chapter 9. And our primary text this evening, if you want to place a bookmark there, or your ribbon in your Bible, is 1 Samuel chapter 17. You can probably already guess where we're going tonight, the story of David and Goliath. Let me share with you a story from back in 1952. There was a woman by the name of Florence Chadwick. She attempted to swim from the Catalina Island to the California coast, a span of about 26 miles, in an attempt to set a record for covering that distance. Roughly 15 hours into her swim, a heavy fog settled itself on the path before her. Blinded by fog, she became disoriented and discouraged and gave up. When she finally decided she couldn't go on, her escorts in a boat helped her out of the water. The escorts feared to tell her the truth. Florence was about a mile from her goal. Her only reply after learning how close she actually came was, "All I could see was hopeless." Her clouded vision kept her from victory. There's a happy ending to this story. 2 months later, she tried to swim the same channel. The thick fog set in, and she succeeded. And she made that swim an additional 2 times and also became the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. We would say that Miss Florence Chadwick conquered her giants. And I ask you this evening as we begin, how do you view your challenges? How do you view your challenges? Because each one of us has challenges. We're at different phases in our life, different seasons in our life. But there is something that we are all going through right now. How do you view your challenges? Because I would suggest to you this evening that we can look at our challenges one of two ways. We can look at our challenges through the eyes of the faithless, or we can look at our challenges through the eyes of the faithful. There's a quote I came across that said this: in any situation, what you are determines what you see. What you see determines what you do. I think each one of us knows the story, the epic story of David and Goliath. I would be confident enough to ask one of our young children in the audience, give me a quick summary of the story of David and Goliath. Then I guarantee they'd be able to tell us the highlights of that story. It's a story that we've learned from when we were very little. It's a powerful story. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. There's so much that we can take away from that story. But can you imagine what would have happened if David did not trust God when he went to fight Goliath? But David believed he could fight Goliath successfully
because the ultimate faith he had in God. He was confident that he was going to be the victor. And your Goliath this evening may be an illness. Your Goliath this evening may be an addiction. It may be a habit. It may be an attitude problem. It may be financial problems. It may be issues within your marriage. We are all here this evening and we have challenges in our lives. And I would suggest to you that we cannot avoid the giants in our life. In fact, we need those giants in our life so that we can grow and our faith can be strengthened. Let's turn our attention to the story. Your Bibles are there in 1 Samuel chapter 9. Let's read together verses 1 and 2. Let's read a little bit about Saul before we get into the question, who was Goliath? Saul, in verse 1 of chapter 9, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. Now, this description of Saul is relevant when we look at the story later on in chapter 17. But if Israel wanted a king, and Saul looked the part, did he not? He had all the measurables. If there was a draft for choosing a king, Saul would be the number one pick. Because he had it all. He was good looking. He was handsome. He came from a wealthy family. He had it all. But let's jump ahead to chapter 16. We know the story of Saul. Saul was disobedient in chapter 15. He's stripped of his kingship because of his disobedience. So what does God tell Samuel to do? God tells Samuel, you're going to go and anoint another king. So let's look at chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And let's pick up there in verse 7. The Lord appeared, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now what has happened up to this point is that Jesse has his sons there, and he's got, you know, the oldest ones, the strongest ones, the good-looking ones. And God tells Samuel, don't look at the outward appearance. Look at the heart. Look at the heart. And in fact, David is not even in the picture here. He's not even there. Look at verses 11 and 12. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, well, there remains yet the youngest. And there he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. He is anointed to be king. And all these details that we find in chapter 9 and chapter 16 are relevant as we begin our look in chapter 17. So please keep that in mind as we proceed. So 1 Samuel chapter 17, let's read the first 7 verses. What we'll do this evening, we'll spend the first part just summarizing and hitting the highlights of this story, and then look at 3 points, and the lesson will be yours tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning of verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, and were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Socoh and Azekah and Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath, from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze.
And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. So you can picture this scene. You've got the Israelites on one mountain. You've got the Philistines on another mountain. You've got this valley between them, and they're sizing each other up. They're sizing each other up. And the champion comes out of the Philistine camp. And the Hebrew expression for champion is a man who is a go-between, meaning a warrior who will fight in single combat as they stand in for the entire army. So his opponent needed to be as big as he was and as strong as he was to stand a chance. So rather than the two armies engaging in battle, Goliath offers a challenge. You send your best warrior out to fight me, and let's go toe-to-toe. Let's go one-on-one. What are some characteristics that we find about Goliath? Well, he's over 9 feet tall. Depending on who you trust on the interwebs, some will say 9 feet 3, some will say 9 foot 6 inches, 9 foot 9, somewhere in that vicinity. Many of you have come up to me and said, "How tall are you?" I said, "I'm 6 foot 6. Can you imagine someone who's three feet taller than me?" That's how big this man was. He was covered with the best armor of the day, of his day. 125, 150 pounds of armor. His spear weighed about 15 to 17 pounds. The shield was carried by a Philistine. Verse 41, we read of that detail. He was a war machine. He was a monstrous sight. He was intimidating. And he stands before the Israelites, taunting them. Let's pick up there in verse 8. "Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, 'Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us.' And the Philistine said, 'I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.' When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." And this goes on for 40 days. Look with in verse 16. "And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening." Morning and evening. If someone is able to kill him, the Philistines would be their servants. But if he kills the man who the Israelites sent down, the Israelites then would be the servants of the Philistines. That's the challenge that is posed to the Israelite army. And there weren't any takers. But here's an interesting note that we find. Look in verse 13. Notice verse 13. Remember the sons of Jesse? We read about them in chapter 16. They're present here. In verse 13, the three oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of his three sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the third Shammah. Remember, they've been passed over to be anointed the next king. David is back at the house taking care of the sheep. His father has him take food to his brothers, check on his brothers, and he hears the words of Goliath in verse 23. "Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them." David speaks in verse 26. "What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And Eliab, David's oldest brother, becomes angry when he hears David asking these questions. "Why did you come down here?" Verse 28. "And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness. I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. As we proceed forward in this story, Saul finds out that David is there, and David's been asking all these questions, and he requests David to come and see him. And we see their dialogue in verses 32 and 33. Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight the Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth. And Saul is essentially telling David here, you're crazy. You've got no shot against Goliath. You are just a young boy. You are inexperienced. He's a seasoned veteran. And you don't stand a chance against him. But David responds that the Lord has delivered him from the hands of lions, from the hands of bears, and that the Lord will deliver him in his matchup with the Goliath. We know what Goliath is wearing. Notice verse 38. Picture this scene in your mind. So Saul clothes David with his armor, and he puts on a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. Saul tries to put on his armor upon David. And of course, it's not going to fit David. You know, David says, you know, I can't wear this. Verse 39, for he had not tested them. He tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. He grabs his weapons. In verse 40, he took his staff. He chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. He put them in a shepherd's bag and in a pouch which he had, and a sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. A staff, a sling, and 5 smooth stones. And this is a mismatch on every level. David steps out. Goliath comes down from the hill and he's ready to fight. But when Goliath sees David, notice what Goliath says. Am I a dog, verse 43, that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. But does David run away? Does David back down? He does not. Verse 45, he says to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Goliath, remember, has been doing this for 40 days, morning and evening, trash-talking to the Israelites. And David doesn't back down. In fact, he's a pretty good trash-talker himself. Verse 48, we find the monumental upset. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. That David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. Verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. One thing I want us to point out immediately after reading this story and summarizing the highlights is that David saw what God saw. Why did the Israelites tremble in fear? Why did the Israelites shake in fear? Because they saw what man saw. They saw this war machine standing over 9 feet tall. This bodily armor. Somebody carrying his shield. That is what they saw. But David saw what God saw. David did not look at the size of the obstacle, but at the power of his God. And all of us face giants in our life. We face trials in our life that we may think they are insurmountable, that we don't stand a chance at all. So what are three lessons that we can take away from this story of David and Goliath? What set David apart in this story? The first thing is this. David listened to God. David listened to God. How much time do we spend thinking about what other people say about us? Yeah. What they think about us. How they talk about us behind our back. How much better would we be if we didn't worry about what other people say about us? Right? People are going to tell us that we're not good enough. People are going to tell us that we're not capable enough. Satan, as we saw in our story this morning in John chapter 13 and verse 2, we put that into the heart of Judas, he's going to plant seeds of doubt into our heart. He's going to say those things that you're not good enough and you're not capable enough. But ignore them. Don't listen to them. Look at verses 28 and 30. We read verse 28. Let's read 29 and 30. This is David's exchange with Eliab. We read verse 28. Pick up there in verse 29. And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" Remember, his brother Eliab, the oldest, bypassed by David to be the next anointed king, is furious that David is there. Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, and these people answered him as the first ones did. Eliab was upset because neither he, his brothers, or any of the soldiers in the army had the courage enough to stand up against Goliath. And there are people like that today. We think about coworkers who may talk behind us, behind our back. Family members may get angry at us. Our friends may be upset at us because we want a better life. We have that initiative and desire in our lives for a better quality of life. Because your success becomes a reflection of their success. I've got two younger brothers, and I think about this story in Eliab here, because there were times where I would have friends over. We're playing basketball in the driveway or football out in the backyard, and little brothers want to hang around. And we would tell them, "This is big boy stuff. Leave us alone. You know, let us handle it. You go inside and play with mom and dad." And this is the impression that I get in this story, that Eliab didn't want David around. David was embarrassing him. But he was not willing to acknowledge the confidence that David had. He wasn't willing to acknowledge David's faith in God. And there are those who seek to minimize who we are, what we do, what we're capable of doing, because it reflects poorly upon them. Read verse 33 with me. Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth." And again, Saul looked at David and told David all the reasons why David could not be successful. Saul was looking at the outside. He was looking at his outward appearance. But did David listen to him? He didn't. He listened to God. Later in the book of Psalm, we find this passage in Psalm 85 and verse 8. "I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly." I would encourage us this evening to not listen to naysayers. David didn't listen to the people who said to him, "You're not qualified." David didn't listen to the people who said, "You're not experienced enough to fight this Goliath. You're not capable enough. You're too young. You just can't do it." Because David knew in his heart what he was capable of doing. And David didn't allow Eliab's opinions of him to determine what he did. David didn't allow the opinions of Saul to determine what he did. God wants his children to listen to him. There are going to be detractors in our life. There are going to be backbiters in our life. There are going to be liars in our life. But God says, listen to me. Listen to me.
Our second point this evening is that David looked to the past.
David looked to the past. Read with me in verses 34 through 37. We referenced this detail a moment ago. 34 through 37. David volunteers to fight Goliath. And Saul pulls him aside and says, you know what, you're not able to go against Goliath. Notice what David says. Verse 34, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. David looked back and he saw that God had delivered me from the lions. God had delivered me from the bears. Why wouldn't God continue to help me now? Psalm 9 and verse 10. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. You know, too often we forget to think back at how God has gotten us through previous trials. We've got to rely upon what God has done for us in the past. God has carried us through difficult trials up to this point in our lives. And we've got to have the confidence that He's going to carry us through trials in the future. You know, we oftentimes think about how far we have to go. Many of you have met my girls, age 14 and 9. There's a lot weighing on my mind right now. I've got... Yeah, thanks for the support. One's getting ready to drive here in a couple years. You know, you're thinking about college, and you're thinking about weddings. You know, she turned 14 a week ago. And it just amazes me how fast time goes by. There's a lot to think about. And many of you know that. You've gone through that. You've walked through that already. And sometimes we spend so much time looking toward the future and all that is going to be on our plate. And we forget how far God has brought us along. Hey, God has already helped me raise this beautiful girl for 14 years. He's not going to let me down. He's going to help me. He's going to be there. And the same goes for the challenges and struggles that we go through in our lives. Look at all the trials that you have overcome to this point in your life. And know that any future trials, God will be with you right by your side. God is a faithful God. He's not going to give up on you. He's always come through in the clutch. What set David apart? David looked to the past. Our third and final point this evening is that David was prepared. David was prepared. Look at the details again that we find in verses 38 and 39. Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. At this point in the story, Saul can't help but think like a warrior. We read the description of Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 9. He's a big guy. He's a strong guy. He's a handsome guy. Shouldn't he have been the one to put on the armor and went out to battle to fight Goliath? But instead of putting on that armor, he puts it on David, a little shepherd boy. And we know that doesn't fit David, and David takes it off. He couldn't walk in it, much less fight in it. So David prepares for battle as a shepherd boy. He takes his staff, he takes his slingshot, and he takes 5 smooth stones. What's the lesson for us? David didn't need to be Saul. David didn't need to be a Goliath. He just needed to be David. He just needed to be that shepherd boy. He needed to do what he was capable of doing. And that's what God wants out of his children. He wants you to be who you are, and He wants you to use the abilities that He's given you. Whatever those talents are, whatever those abilities are, whether there's five or two or one, that's what God wants you to do. Use those abilities. President Theodore Roosevelt once said, "Do what you can with what you have where you are." In verse 40, he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Five smooth stones. He didn't choose someone else's weapon. He chose what he knew would work for him, what would empower him. And perhaps those things wouldn't have worked for anyone else in the Israelite army. But that's all right, because David was the only one heading out to battle. David played to his strengths. And David knew God would win. He's confident of that. And we find that voice of confidence from verses 41 through 47. And the words, the powerful words that just ring loudly to Goliath. And God wants His children to have the same courage. Look at verse 54. We read verses 48 through 51, those details. And just look with me in verse 54. As David defeats Goliath, David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. It's a sign of victory right there. He won. God won. And David depended on the power of God. And God was David's armor in this battle. But here's the thing. David still had to do his part. He still had to do his part. And God always wants us to do our part. There's a story about a country preacher. He was making his way through the woods to church and came upon a bridge over a small river. Halfway across the bridge, a bear appeared at the other end. Immediately, the preacher dove into the river, floated downstream, and got back on course for church. When he arrived, he was still soaked. After he related his story to everyone, a little boy asked him, "Preacher, didn't you pray when you saw that bear?" The preacher replied, "Son, prayer is fine for a prayer meeting, but it don't do you a whole lot of good at a bear meeting. There comes a time when prayer must be acted upon. We believe, and we've prayed. We remember the times when God has been there for us. And then it's time for us to act. It's time for us to do something. Goliath, our Goliath, must be confronted." Think about it. Had David said all those things about courage, and David had said all those things about faith, and said, "I believe in my Lord, I have faith in my God," and then turned around and headed back to his father's home, what kind of impression would that have left with the other men? He would have been as big of a coward as all those other guys out on the battlefield. So no matter how much we pray, there comes a time where we've got to act. We've got to load up our slingshot. We've got to do what needs to be done. We need to say what needs to be said. And David boldly faced his Goliath head on. And we can too. Sometimes we don't get to pick the place or the time of our battle. We just got to be ready for the battle. But you'll never win the battle if you don't show up for the battle. Remember the story of Jonah. Jonah was given an assignment by God. Go to Nineveh. Preach to Nineveh. They've got to repent. Did Jonah initially go to Nineveh? Now we know the story. He tries to flee to Tarshish. David did not try to flee from this challenge. He met this challenge head on. David didn't say that it was someone else's battle. He ran toward the giant to engage in this battle. You ever wonder why David picks five smooth stones? Why didn't he just pick one smooth stone? Because it was just one that did the job, right? I would suggest to you that David chose five smooth stones because if he missed the first time, he was going to try again. And if he missed the second time, he was going to try a third time. He was not going to give up. David was not about to turn and run away. David was going to stand up and he was going to fight that Goliath. David was ready to persevere. I'm reminded what Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Can I encourage you this evening to not give up on your trials? To not give up on your challenges? That we've got to be ready to reload and fight through those circumstances. We recognize again this evening that we all have giants. We all face hardships. Some of them seemingly are insurmountable. How are we ever going to defeat this giant? We have temptations in our life. How am I going to overcome this temptation? So what are your giants? What is it in your life that you live in fear of? What is it in your life that you allow to dictate how you live, how you talk, how you act? Maybe it's worry. Maybe it's complacency. Maybe it's rejection or fear or anger or greed. It could be a number of those things. Let's close by looking at verse 47. Notice what David says. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. The battle belongs to the Lord. That's right. There's a song in the song book. The battle belongs to the Lord. Why do giants defeat us again and again and again? Because we try to face those giants by ourselves. You know, it's important to know, anytime you go into battle, who's got your back? Who's with you in the foxhole? A couple of passages and the lesson will be yours. Romans 8:31. If God be with us, who can be against us? And in Psalm 118 and verse 6, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Let's remember this evening that the odds were stacked against David. The odds were stacked against David. Now, if you like sports like I do, you probably heard the phrase, you know, games aren't played on paper. This battle was not played on paper. If it were played on paper, David didn't stand a chance. David was victorious because he had God on his side. He won, and we will win too. Is there a giant in your life this evening? Is there something in your life that's got such a tight grip on you that you need the prayers and the strength of this congregation? I know that this good group here will pray for you and encourage you and support you. Maybe this lesson has touched you in some way, and you recognize that there is a giant in your life. And you need to do something right now before that Goliath defeats you. We encourage you to think about your soul's condition this evening. Maybe you're here tonight, you're not a child of God. This congregation has been blessed with baptisms already in 2020. Maybe your desire this evening is to be baptized. And we can make that happen as well. If there's anything on your heart tonight, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing the song that our brother CJ has chosen.